if you would. Let's go. Let's jump right in, if you don't mind. Good to see you all tonight. And I hope you don't mind if I get a little personal with you all. Is that okay? I mean, really, I feel like I can almost say we. Like I've been with you for a little while, and I'm not anybody special or anything like that. But you know, I remember the two brothers when they used to have hair. I know Pastor still has hair, but Johnny's lost his. Amen. And I want to equate something to you, and I got so many things I've been thinking about. Last time I was with Pastor, we were at a little restaurant that every time I come up here we go to. I don't know where it's at. It just got pies. I know it's got pies. Amen. What is it? Yeah, that's it. I just know every time he goes in, he says, "Aren't you gonna take some pie with you, or eat some pie, or something about pie?" And he always eats soup. Amen. Then he gets a big piece of pie. And he always wants me to take one with me. And when we were there last time, which was, I don't know, not that long ago, a few months ago, half a year ago, I don't know. We were eating, and he looked up at me, and he said, "Brother Fisher, we need to do more." He said, "We just need to do more." And that, when a man says that, I want to know what's on his heart, what's on his mind. And he said, we need a Chinese ministry at our church. Did he mention that to y'all? A couple times. And he said, we need to do this. And he started naming different things we needed to do. And he said, how would you go about accomplishing that, Brother Fisher? And I was like sitting there going, gee, that's a loaded question. And the only thing I could come up with on the spur of the moment was, well, I said, "Brother Joe, usually what it takes is a church with a bigger heart. When God adds ministries to a church, he enlarges the heart of the church." And I watched Pastor pull out his little white card. Do you know the little card? Come on, talk to me a little bit. He pulled out his little card, took out his pencil or pen, and started writing notes. And I didn't watch what he wrote, but we talked about the heart of the church getting bigger, the heart of the church, the heart of the ministry getting enlarged. So with that in mind, look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. And I brought this little scripture to you before, but I want to expound upon it just a little bit tonight, if you don't mind. By the way, what a good night to be in church, amen? While the world is doing other things, we get to be in church tonight, amen? Ecclesiastes chapter 7. So I want you to see, as we were talking there, I was talking to a pastor about the heart being made bigger and enlarged and more compassion, more capacity to do ministry. And then he said, "Well, Brother Fisher," he said, "that sounds right." And then he said, "But you know what that takes, don't you?" And I said, "Well, I do. According to the Bible, I do." He said, "Yeah, that's a scary thought, isn't it?" I said, "A little bit." And here's what he was talking about, and here's what we were both talking about. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse 3. "Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made what? The heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. The heart of fools is in the house of mirth." Once in a while, you can take note in a church that there seems to be a greater amount of suffering. I'll say that again. Once in a while in a church, there seems to be a greater amount of suffering. And I know you have a very positive attitude right now, but you can't tell me you haven't been sad just a little bit. I mean, Friend Day's coming, and we're going to keep a positive attitude, and we're going to keep going. We're going to bring people to church. Come on, is that right? And we're going to keep the building program going. We're going to keep missions going. But you have to have a little bit of time when you heard about what's going on with Pastor. A little bit of sadness must have come into your heart. It had to. It did mine. And if you don't recognize the sadness once in a while and the sorrow and the suffering once in a while, you'll miss. You don't just skim over the top of it and miss the tears. You say, well, we're not supposed to cry. What, are you a fool? Jesus wept. He was a man of sorrows. And when you think about it, God, I don't know how God chooses what he's going to do, but he's chosen someone that you love to go through some deep affliction. And this is affliction. Wouldn't you agree with that? And it's not because you've done something wrong. This is for the glory of God. That's the positive side of it. But the truth of the matter is, you can't tell me there hasn't been a few tears and some suffering. Well, we just keep an upper lip. Okay, keep an upper lip, but make sure you let your heart get better too. Make sure you have some grief. Make sure you have some grief and be positive about that God can work it all out and that God can do miracles, but make sure you let the grief come in a little bit. You still with me or not? Because grief is part of our hearts being made better. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. And notice, if you would, verse number 18. For in much wisdom is much, what? Grief. Oh, Lord, give me more wisdom. Well, then the Lord's going to make sure we understand something. He that increases knowledge increases, what? Sorrow. I wonder if your pastor is being made wiser right now. I'll ask that again. I wonder if your pastor is being made wiser right now. I know what human, I understand what the human doctors are saying. I get that. But we don't know what God's doing with him. Human doctors can only know what they can understand. And I respect what they know. But they can't know everything. Bible says, no man knoweth even how the bone is formed in the womb. So there's they can't know everything, but I respect them. But we don't know what God's doing with your pastor right now. He might be being made wiser, and there may be more doors opening. Doors of opportunity. Say, how can you say that? Paul was being stoned one day, and they left him for dead. Then he got back up. Would you agree with that statement? I mean, they point blank stoned him with stones. And he suffered greatly. And they walked away thinking he was done. And he wasn't done. No man's done until God's done with him. I'll say it again. No man's done until God's done with him. At that restaurant, what's the name of that place? What is it? Molly's. Yeah, that's it, Molly's. I thought you said Wally's. I was thinking, I didn't go to Wally's. At Molly's, pastor told me, he said, I want the heart of our church to be made better. I wonder if that's going on right now. I wonder if your heart's being made better. Because tears make the hearts better. I'll guarantee you, your prayer life has increased a bit. I mean, I heard somebody say Saturday night prayer. Man, if you can, you ought to show up. Young men, I don't know who's allowed to come. What's the age group? All of them. You ought to come. Especially before Friend Day. Especially while your pastor's where he's at. Your pastor would be there praying for you. Come on. You ought to reciprocate a little bit. Is that right? It's okay for me to talk about that, this, isn't it? Because if your heart's being made better, then it's a positive thing. If the ministry is expanding in some way, shape, or form, you say, well, I don't see that how that can happen. Brother, look at Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. Let's make sure we keep a spiritual attitude on everything that's going on. I believe you have a very spiritual church with a lot of things going on. But whatever you do, be careful about thoughts that are not scriptural entering into your head. Look at Acts chapter number 9. And notice what, if you would, verse number 15. Ananias is going to be told something about Paul. And when Ananias is told about Saul, who's going to become Paul, he said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. And here's what I've chosen him for. I chose him to bear my name before the Gentiles. What an opportunity. The apostle to the Gentiles. I've also chosen him to bear my name before kings. And I've also chosen him to bear my name before the children of Israel. Is that what you see so far? Verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must what? Talk to me. What? For my name's sake. So he says, I've chosen him. He's a chosen vessel. Bear my name before Gentiles. Bear my name before kings. Bear my name before the children of Israel. And I was a chosen vessel to suffer for me. Is that what you read? Your pastor evidently is a chosen vessel. And part of that ministry opportunity is he's been chosen to suffer. I want you to be careful about looking on that as a negative. I want you to be careful about looking on that as a negative. I want you to be careful about looking on that as a negative, because my respect for your pastor has gone way up. What do you mean? I already highly respected him. You don't know how I respect your pastor. You can't see in my heart what I feel about your pastor and his wife and his family. But when I heard what happened, my respect for him notched up two or three more notches. Because of the special privilege of being chosen for this. What do you mean special privilege? It's a special privilege to be chosen for this to give God glory. And I don't know of anybody in the book that didn't pay a price before God opened more doors. Joseph paid a heavy price before God opened up all the doors. Is that right? And there were scars and marks left on his legs from the fetters. Paul was a man chosen to do many things, but he had scars and marks all over himself, all over the marks of the Lord Jesus, and he was a chosen vessel to suffer. You have the special privilege as a church to drink a special cup of suffering. Did you hear what I said? You have a special privilege as a church to drink a cup of suffering that not all churches have the privilege of drinking. And there was no way around it. Did you hear what I said? It was appointed. It was chosen. What could we have done to make it not happen? Nothing. Did you hear what I said? There's nothing you could have done to make it not happen, because it was appointed. It was chosen. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3. Am I getting too close in on you tonight? Come on, you still all right? And I don't know what kind of, you know, I'm sure there's been some great preaching and everything to give you perspective. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Certain things are appointed. Certain things are assigned. And whatever you do, don't look upon it as something, even with the suffering and the grief, look on it with great respect. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are what? Say it. Appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulations, even as it came to pass. And you know, I want you to see the word in verse number 3, appointed. We are appointed unto. It's like an assignment. It's like when God made Joe Esposito, he made him in a way with something appointed later on in his life. Come on, is that right? Yes or no? Joseph, was he born with this, evidently? So he was born with this. So God knows it's been there all these years. And then he triggered it on a missions conference night. Do I have that right? Wasn't it the first night of the missions conference? What is that? Appointed. Assigned. Timely. God's perfect will. Come on. You know, I get tired of Baptists being dumb. I really do. I get tired of Baptists being dumb. And I'm not trying to be unkind by saying that. I just get tired of Baptists being dumb. And I'm not saying you all are dumb, but I get tired of Baptists being dumb. So he was born with this. And on a missions night, the first night of a missions conference, to do more out for the Lord. Come on, talk to me. He goes through something that sets your church into sadness and into sorrow to make your heart better and to expand the depth of your heart to have more compassion. Come on, stay with me. To open up new doors of opportunity and to test and to prove who you are with or without your pastor. You say, well, what do you mean with or without our pastor? He's not here right now. Look, I'm expecting him to be back, aren't you? I know that's the positive side, but he's not here right now. And we don't know how long he won't be here. So you're getting proved right now as to the character of who you're following, a man or God. And I know you're not following Joe. And I know you love him as your pastor, and you love him as your pastor, and he's led some of you to Christ. But the work goes on. You stay, it's kind of like this. You go out and invite people for friend day. You give money towards the building. You give money towards mission. And then keep a tear in your heart and your eye for pastor. Is that a fair way to say it? You keep working, but keep a tear in the corner of your eye and keep sad a little bit. Stay sad a little bit so your heart gets better. Look, we've put it out to pray. I've got three emails here from three different parts of the world that are saying praying for your pastor tonight, your pastor. The last few weeks that I've been out preaching, I've been in a few different states, and every church I've been in, I've said, now I want you to pray for a man. Last night I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, and this particular church I was in doesn't even know your pastor. But at the end of the message on Tuesday night, I explained to them about Pastor Esposito and Pacific Baptist and what I knew and who I knew, and I said, look, I want you to come and all gather around, and we're going to pray for him and his wife and his family and his church. And they flooded the aisles and began to pray. And it didn't stop there because they started praying for different things. Because what happens as you begin to pray for somebody else's sufferings, God begins to soften you, mold you towards somebody else's, and even towards viewing some of your own in a different way. Come on, you still with me? I got a note here from Australia. I got another note from an eastern country in the Far East. I got another note. You see, up north tomorrow morning, there's a pastor named Rick DeMichael. Anybody ever heard of a name named Rick DeMichael? No? Okay. He's in Meridian, Idaho. Pastors a pretty good-sized church up there, and they have a pastor's conference, and they reach into some different pastors from different Baptist groups. He's had leukemia for, I don't know, 10 years now, and he's gone through 2 full treatments of leukemia. I don't know if you know anything about leukemia. It's the cancer in the blood and everything, and he's gone through, and now tomorrow he has open-heart surgery. And he's. I got a text from him today. He says God's good. So tomorrow they're going in, and if it's only one blockage, they'll be able to put a stent in. But if it's 2 blockages, they got to crack his chest open, and go in. It's open heart surgery. And tonight he's texting me saying God is good. There's a lot of sorrow out there with ministries that are expanding. Did you hear what I said? There's a lot of sorrow and suffering with ministries that are expanding. I'm going to say that one more time because you're kind of, what do you mean? How can you equate suffering with ministries expanding? Well, look at John, the book of John. If it's appointed, there's nothing you can do but bear with it. Is that right? And it's evidently a cup that's supposed to be drinking. So look at John chapter 9 and equate it to this. Make sure you keep a good spirit on this. And I know you say, well, brother, I thought you'd come in and really just, you know, get us fired up. Come on, we can do it. Look, let's look at reality, too. Let's look at our heart and our attitude towards it and make sure our heart and attitude towards the suffering. Look, we don't want to compartmentalize it and say it's not there. You don't want to live in denial. You want to live with a tear and then go on and do the work. So look at John 9. They passed by a man that was born blind from his birth, verse number 1. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? What a question. Who did sin, this man or his parents? You know what they did? These apostles had a Jewish mindset, and they equated the fact that this man was blind, thinking somebody must have done something wrong, because this man was born blind from his birth, and they wanted to assign the blame to someone. And Jesus answered, neither. Neither his parents nor him did anything wrong. You know what he said? Hey, this, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. What do you mean? He was born blind. And they said, who did wrong? This man's parents or him? And the Lord said, neither. This was done so the works of God would be manifested and God would get the glory when I heal him. So your dad was born with this messed up deal in his head with the veins, right? Maybe it's to manifest the works of God. I mean, we can't say that that's not the case. God knows it's been there all that time. And on that Friday night, was it a Friday? Thursday? On the Thursday night he went in, he worked a full day, didn't he? Had a headache up on the platform. But wanted his church's heart to be made better. Wanted the church to do more. Come on, is that right? You say, how do you know that, Molly's? We talked about it. And so God chose him for this. Are y'all suffering a little bit or not? Do you have sad times or not? I want to make sure that you do. Because you should. But that doesn't mean we're going around with our heads hung down all the time. But we ought to have a sadness in our heart and a softening of our heart and a sobriety of our heart, but realize this was chosen by the Lord before he was born. And there was no way around it. It's appointed, and you happen to get the privilege to be involved in his life when it happened. What do you mean privilege? It is a privilege to be involved in this church right now as your pastor goes through what he's going through. Right in the middle of a building program, right in the middle of a missions conference, right in the middle of Friend Day, right in the middle of everything else going on, and you ought to look at this and say, it's a privilege to even be here right now. Why do you say that? Look at Acts chapter number 5. Everybody still good? I mean, it's a privilege. You ought to look at it and say, what a privilege to be here right now. Look at Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. Hey, don't we talk about, boy, I want to be part of a New Testament church. Boy, a growing church. A church that's just where we're seeing people saved. And boy, missions are being reached. And boy, you got this building going on. And everything that's going on. And I want to have a new church, New Testament church attitude. I want to be like in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5. Well, look at Acts chapter 5, verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. I mean, they beat them till they suffered. They beat them till they left marks. They had beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. These went away saying, what a privilege that we were counted worthy to be a part of this suffering for his name's sake. I got to tell you, you guys right now as a church ought to be thinking, what a privilege to be involved here right now in my life, to watch what's going on, to see what's going on, to be tried, proven, and tested right now, and to be counted worthy to suffer a bit and help drink the cup. Because there's no way around it. See, what we don't know is the outcome, but we believe the outcome will be good, don't we? Come on, don't we? We don't know the outcome, but we believe the outcome will be good because it's in God's hands. Did you just sing? Your dad's going to surgery tomorrow. Is that right? You suffering a little bit tonight? I heard the words of the song. I was listening to the words of the song. Did you choose that song? Is it timely? Is it? What's your dad going in for surgery for? Say again. An aneurysm? And where at? Okay. So tomorrow they're going in and it's a pretty major surgery. How old's your dad? About 52? Is your family suffering a bit? Concerned? A little scared? Those are right feelings. Come on, is that right? It does something to our hearts. And I'm not trying to point you out, but brethren, look up here. they're suffering, we ought to suffer with them. I can see the tears and the concern. I mean, we're going to have prayer tonight. It's not just for Pastor Joe. What's your last name?
What is it?
We're going to pray for him tonight, too. I'm going to ask you to pray for Rick DeMichael tonight, too. By the way, I could name you five other pastors right now that are going, facing cancers and different things right now. And their churches are hurting, too. But look up here. It's a moving forward. Please be careful about viewing this as Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. What do you mean? Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar said to Job, whoever perished being innocent. They wanted to accuse what happened to Job for something that he had done wrong. And sometimes nobody has done anything wrong. It's for the glory of God. Who is sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? What do you mean? Neither of them. Brethren, look up here. He was born blind and now he was a young man. He had lived with blindness for a long time. But God chose at that point in time to come by and heal him. But he had lived with being born blind for a long time. And don't you think in that society he lived and in people's minds they condemned him? Whatever you do, don't ever get a mindset of something goes wrong, somebody must have done something wrong. Whatever you do, you better have a mindset that if something goes seemingly wrong, maybe it's because we're doing right. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 real quick. 1 Peter chapter 2. Everybody still all right tonight? I mean, our mindset has to be right on this. Let's not be dumb Baptists. I mean that. Let's not be ignorant Baptists. Let's not be Baptists that only see things one way. I mean, we all got some ignorance. I've got some ignorance too. But I don't want to be purposely ignorant. Come on, is that right? All of us have some ignorance, but I don't want to be purposely ignorant. Brother Joseph, do you remember when you text me, my first text back to you? I know you've had a lot of texts, but you text me and you told me what was going on with your dad. And I text back and said, I think he's being promoted. Now, I still believe that. I believe your dad's going through a promotion. Because God does not let any of his children suffer without good purpose. I'll say it again. When Joseph in the Old Testament suffered, he did not suffer without purpose. Come on, is that right? Do you remember in the book of Acts where you're holding your place in 1 Peter chapter 2? Do you remember in the book of Acts where Paul and Barnabas were heading and they said, let's go into Asia, and the Holy Spirit said no? And then they were heading towards Bithynia or Mysia, and the Holy Spirit said no. And then that Macedonian call came. That man said, come over and help us. And he went to the chief city of Macedonia called Philippi. You remember? You remember what happened when they got to Philippi? Come on, talk to me. What happened when Paul and Barnabas got to Philippi? Talk to me. They got beaten. And they were suffering in stocks. Remember they were in the prison? Come on, talk to me. You remember where they were? Did I say something wrong? No, they were in prison. They had their feet in stocks. They had their hands and arms in stocks, and they had just been beaten that day. So they had wounds that were unattended, dried blood, stripes, scarring, and they were suffering. Come on, is that right? And at midnight, they began to do what? Sing. But you don't hear much about the suffering. They were going into Asia, and the Holy Spirit said no. They Mysia and Bithynia, no. I want you to go to Macedonia. I want you to answer that call. I want you to go to the chief city of Macedonia called Philippi. And there, when you get there, they got beaten in accordance with the will of God. They were suffering. What do you mean? The Spirit led them right into a place where they got beaten. And they're in stocks. And their backs are no doubt bloodied, and they're hurting, and they're in pain, and they're in these stocks, so very uncomfortable in the deepest part. They're put in there because the Philippian jailer was charged with that. So they're suffering greatly, and they started singing praises to God. And when they started singing praises to God in their suffering, God shook the prison, and the doors flew open. So their suffering was for somebody else's sake. Come on, you still with me or not? The prison doors fly open. The Philippian jailer thinks to kill himself. And Paul cries out, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And the Philippian jailer comes in, falls down, and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be what? Saved." Their suffering was for the salvation of somebody else, because that night he got saved and his family got saved, and the jailer took him to his house and washed their stripes. So their suffering had a purpose for someone else. I'm saying your suffering and the cup you're drinking, which I highly respect right now, and the cup that your family's drinking, and the cup that your mom's drinking, is for the benefit of someone, somewhere. And the cup that you're all drinking tonight is for the benefit of someone, somewhere. Are you sure about that? Look at look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Verse 20. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults you take it patiently? But if, when you do well, then suffer for it. You take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. Do you know, brethren, the sufferings we're supposed to have is accordance, if you would, with Christ's sufferings. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of what? Say it. Christ's sufferings. So here's the deal. Christ suffered for our benefit. When we suffer and it's for someone else's benefit, then that's when we're partakers of Christ's suffering. He became sin for us. Look, he became Doug Fisher on the cross. He took all my sin upon him. Is that right? Yes or no? And he suffered the wrath of the Father on him so I wouldn't have to face that. And he became you on the cross too. He became Stephen Meyer. He took all your sin and he became you. And all that wrath that would have come your way, it all came on him. So he suffered doing right for the sake of others. So when we suffer because we're doing right to benefit someone else, that's Christ's sufferings. And that's partaking of his sufferings. You say, well, what good can come out of this? The experience you get as a church with what you're going through gives you more compassion for others. It should bring you closer together. This should not divide you. This should weld you together. Did you hear what I said? This should not divide you. The suffering should mold you together. Well, how could it divide us? Well, pastor's not standing up here tonight. And we're used to pastor standing up here. And pastor stood up here all these nights. Come on, is that right? That shouldn't cause division. That should be we pull together more. Brother Myers is standing up here tonight. He didn't choose to do this. Come on. But this should not divide you apart. This should mold you together. This should weld you together. Brother, your family ought to be welded together stronger and stronger and stronger as a result of this. Because tears mold us together. You ought to get closer to your mom, closer to everybody. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be a little tension once in a while. Because dad's not there to calm everything down. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes or no? There's going to be some tension in the house with dad not being there. He's just sleeping in a different place tonight. Come on, is that right? But there's going to be some tension because, you know, mom can't say, well, wait till your dad comes home tonight. So I'm going to tell your mother tonight, if she needs, I'll drive up. And I'll take care of it. But what it really needs is maturing. Everybody needs to mature. And your little tensions that you have with each other, and I know you're not supposed to, but come on, you're family, you do, right? Don't look at me like you don't. You have to, you're family. Brothers and sisters going to get on each other's nerves, is that right? Come on, yes or no? You're looking at me now, like, you know, no, we got our halo on tonight. Come on, there must be tensions a little bit. And, you know, it's like, well, when dad gets home, he'll take care of that. You ever, oh, dad's coming home, man, we better, okay. Well, I'll come up. I can be dad a little bit. I can box somebody's ears if we need to do that, amen? But I hope it'll mold you together and bring your hearts together even closer because of the suffering. And that's the way it should be in the church. Hey, I don't want Joe to wake up. I hope you don't mind me calling him Joe. I don't want Brother Joe to wake up and come back here and you all be in a mess. Come on, is that right? Well, what happened while I was away? Well, this guy, you know, got on a power trip, and this guy got over here on a power trip, and this guy, you know, said, well, you know, the devil's really fighting us, and I don't know if we should finish this building or not, and, you know, maybe we've done something wrong, blah, 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 dumb Baptists. Just dumb Baptists. And don't be a dumb family right now. If he needs you to do anything right now, it's to pull together. Don't be a dumb family. Don't be a dumb pastor's family. But I'm saying that to you, but I'm actually saying it to the whole church. They just don't know it. Because when I'm talking about tensions among you, really, there can be tensions among the church family as people get on power trips. Who's doing what? Who's not doing what? What direction? And all the decisions that used to be trusted that we have this pastor or dad who's grown, and dad always makes the right decisions or most of the time, and pastor always kind of makes the right decision, and now who's making the decisions now, and how do we know we can trust him? Or them. Come on, are you still with me or not? And there can be tension within. And there doesn't need to be. You say, what are we going to do? Keep marching the direction we've been going. Friend Day. Well, who's preaching Friend Day? Who's preaching Friend Day? You're preaching Friend Day? Oh, man, I don't want to bring friends. Pastor's not going to be preaching. It's just Steve. Okay, so that's the elephant in the room. Do you know what an elephant in the room is? The elephant is what nobody else wants to talk about. Okay, the elephant is the room. It's Friend Day. Bring people to Friend Day. Hey, we're inviting people to Friend Day. Who's preaching? That's just Brother Steve. Oh. I don't know if I want to bring people to Friend Day or not. Yeah, you're excited about it. Yeah. Your wife's bringing people, isn't she? I mean, yeah. Look, it doesn't matter who's preaching. If the Word of God goes out, Friend Day is not based on pastor. Joe Esposito. I hope that doesn't sound disrespectful. No disrespect meant. Friend Day is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. And even if he gets up here and says, I don't know, Mary had a little lamb in John 3:16. People can get saved. Come on, is that right? You don't have to be greatly, you know, just give them book. So the message will be, Mary had a little lamb in John 3:16, amen? That way you don't have to worry about it. And it's not performance anyway, it's the word of God, so bring some friends. Because I think your pastor would be disappointed if you had a friend lay and didn't work. Come on, is that right? I heard somebody back there say, yes, sir. I know how it's been all these years since the days under the tarp, amen? You say the tarp days, that goes back a ways. Was that on that other, where was the tarp days? That was on that other street, Anaheim, yeah. So look, doesn't matter who's preaching, bring a friend. Yeah, but it's Brother Steve. I know. Let's see what God can do with the ignorant, amen? Did you like that? It's all right. He's going to go home and work on Mary Had a Little Lamb, amen? And see how he can work the gospel in there. It's appointed. He was born with this. You're being tested. You're drinking your cup now. And I highly respect you for drinking the cup of sufferings you're drinking. I'll tell you why. Look at 2 Corinthians 11 real quick. 2 Corinthians 11. Look, by the time we get out of here, the candy's going to be all gone anyways, right? Okay, you got it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, watch this carefully, and I know you know it, but let's look at it real quick. I'm watching your time. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So Paul begins to rehearse all his sufferings in verse 24, his sufferings. Verse number 25, his sufferings. Verse number 26, his sufferings. Do you see it? Do you see his sufferings, yes or no? Verse 27, weariness, painful, watchings often, hunger. Then he goes on in verse number 29, he says, who's weak and I am not weak? He says, I'm a man too. He said, don't think I'm Superman. Who is offended and I burn not? He said, I'm not Superman. I'm a man like you are. Verse 30, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmity. Glory means to give honor and respect. If I'm going to give honor and respect to something, I'm going to give honor and respect to those things that weakened me. I'm going to give honor and respect to those stripes. I'm going to give honor and respect to being stoned. I'm going to be honor and respectful to the suffering of that shipwreck. Why? Because it weakened me. I'm not going to look at that on negative. I'm going to look at that on God appointed that. And that's what weakened me. And I'm going to honor and respect that which weakens me. Remember, in Ecclesiastes it says, when knowledge is increased, so is increased much sorrow and grief, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he's allowed to go up to the third heaven and see things that no man has ever seen before. And his knowledge and his wisdom increases. And look at verse number 5. 2 Corinthians 12:5. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. But in mine what? Infirmities. He said, if I'm going to glory in something, I'm not going to give honor and respect to the wisdom and the knowledge. I'm going to give honor and respect to the infirmity, to the weakening. And then he goes on to say, after that thorn that God decided not to remove from him, he said, look at verse number 9. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory, give honor and respect in my infirmities, in those things that come upon me, in this thorn, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Brethren, you've got to look at the surgeries your pastor has faced. You've got to look at the surgery of your father with great honor and respect. You've got to look at anybody's suffering when it's weakening them with great honor and respect. You got to glory in that. Did you hear? It's a mindset. I'm going to glory. I'm going to give honor and respect to the things that weaken me, that Christ can be strong. But the weakening, I have to give honor and respect, because without the weakening, without me decreasing, without me bringing this sadness and this sorrow, then I wouldn't even have the opportunity to allow God to comfort me, to allow God to strengthen me. If I didn't have these infirmities, these weaknesses, if I didn't give honor and respect to that, I wouldn't know how to suffer properly. I wouldn't be able to suffer when somebody else suffers. Last Thursday, I was in the hospital with one of our members, and the wife was laying in the hospital bed, and she has a brain aneurysm. It's not moving yet, but they found it. And the husband's sitting in a chair, and he has cancer. And he's already had chemotherapy and radiation. And he's sitting there weakened, and she's laying there in the bed weakened. And they're talking about, how am I going to take care of him? And he's saying, how am I going to take care of my wife? And she's laying there with a brain aneurysm, and he's there just thinking that he's got to face more radiology or chemotherapy or something, and they're just both laying there, and they're in their weaknesses. Look up here. And I looked upon that situation. I was with him for quite a while, and I looked upon him, and with great honor and respect, that's what glory is, with great honor and respect, looking on their sufferings. Because God had allowed that. And God doesn't allow it without a purpose. And if the power of Christ is to rest upon them, then maybe that's what's necessary. While that was going on, another man in our church was having surgery. And he had surgery. That was on Thursday. And on Friday, he started taking a turn to the worse. And on Saturday, I went over to the hospital. And on Saturday, this man had been a part of our church 25 years. And on Saturday, I was with the family quite a few hours. And his blood pressure was dropping. And they decided to pull the respirator because the EKG monitor wasn't there. And he had cancers, and he had blockages, and they couldn't do any more surgeries on him. And he was on a respirator, and basically there was nothing else they can do. And I watched as the family made the decision. I didn't help them make the decision, because I think that's a personal thing. And they decided. They said their goodbyes, and they left, and I stayed with him. And the oldest son was there. And we watched the oldest son and I as he went on to be with the Lord. And that was Saturday night. With great honor and respect, I watched that family suffer. He was the kingpin of their life. With great honor and respect and dignity, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And while that man was, the respirator was taken away, and you could watch the blood pressure starting to go down and the breathing starting to go down, and the body was going to give up the ghost. And precious is in the sight of the Lord the death of his saints. And so what I was looking on was something very precious. As I saw him turn white. Are you still with me or not? It depends on how you view it. You've got to view it how God views it, with great honor and respect, and very precious that that man's life on this earth was finished. And then the son began to cry somewhat uncontrollably. I stayed with him, and then when he said, okay, it's time to go, we were walking down the hallway together, and he put his arm around me and said, you know, thanks for being here. And I said, well, it's not over with yet. We gotta go down now, and your mother and all the daughters are down there. And when we walked up, they began to really, really, really weep, because they just didn't want to see the end. But you have to look on that situation with glory, with great honor and respect to the cup that's being drunk, the cup of suffering. And you have to view it with great honor and respect. And you have to see that in God's sight, it's very, very precious. I want you to turn to one other scripture. Look at Psalms 56. We still good tonight? Psalms 56. And thanks for listening to me. I hope I haven't got too close into you. Meaning, I hope I'm not being offensive tonight. Come on, are we still all right? You have to look on the cup of suffering with great, great honor and respect. Now, I want to make sure you understand something. It's really, really important. And this will be the last scripture I'll ask you to turn to. You know, your mom texted me with a scripture. It was interesting. I'm wondering if it was a text or when I was on the phone with her. I can't remember. It's kind of a blur. I think it was when I was on the phone with her. And she said, she started talking about the Lord when James and John. Remember James and John, the sons of thunder? James and John came to Jesus and they said, we would that thou wouldest do whatsoever we would desire thee. Mark chapter 10. So Lord, we'd like you to do whatever we asked you to do. And the Lord kind of said, well, what is it you'd like? He already knew, but he asked kind of naively. Well, they said, well, we would like, Lord, when you come into your glory, when you're King of kings and Lord of lords, when you're Messiah, when you're on your throne, we'd like to sit one on the right-hand side of you, and we'd like the other to sit right on the left-hand side of you. So what they were talking about, when you sit on your throne, when you're King of kings, Lord, Lord, ruler of everything, when you're on your throne, we would like to be honored by you allowing us to one of us to sit on the right-hand side of you and one of us to sit on the left-hand side of you. Remember, they had argued about who would be greatest in heaven. Do you remember that? Come on, talk to me. And they equated sitting on the right and sitting on the left as a great, great honor. And the Lord said to them, can you drink the cup? That was his answer to them. Can you drink the cup? They said, Lord, we would that thou would have us to sit one on thy right hand and one on the left hand. And the answer he gave back to them was, can you drink the cup? You know what he just said? Well, let me ask you guys something. Can you suffer? You want that high position of honor? Can you suffer down here? And he said to them, you know not what you ask. And they said, yeah, we can drink the cup. And he said, well, ye shall indeed. But to tell you who's going to sit on the right hand or on the left, I'm not going to do that. His answer was interesting. You all want honor and glory in heaven? Can you drink the cup down here? It's a cup that's assigned. Do you know what the Lord struggled with in the garden was that cup, the suffering coming. And God sent an angel to strengthen him. Three times he went apart and he prayed. And being in agony and earnestly praying, he sweat as it were great drops of blood. And God sent an angel to strengthen him. See, when you get to the place where you're drinking a cup, God wants to give you extra special support. And he'll give you a comfort wherewith he comforts you, that then you can go out and help someone else. In this economy down here that we have, please look. We're in Psalms 56. I have some money in my pocket. Supposedly, it's based on gold. Come on, is that right? Supposedly, it's based on gold. And we think gold is really special. Come on, is that right? Because of its qualities down here. It shines, it sparkles, it's valuable, it's used for so many things. It has qualities, and we consider gold very, very precious down here. It's what our money's based on, we think. In heaven, gold is not that important. It's what the streets are made of. Let me ask you a question. In heaven, what's important? What's the economy in heaven based on? Say it. Suffering. Because there's no glory without suffering first. Jesus came down here and chose to suffer as a man before he was glorified. You say, do you really think suffering's that big a deal in heaven? He kept his marks. You know what the marks are? They're the marks of suffering. If you study this Bible, everybody that does anything for God suffers before, during, or after. Come on, you still with me? Because suffering is so important to God. Because what greater value? Look to me. Well, God, I'll give you money. Give me your blood. What do you mean? Let me tell you what the most precious thing that ever happened on this earth was. It was Jesus Christ shedding his blood for us and suffering as it drained out. Come on, is that right? What was more important and more precious than the blood of Jesus Christ? And out of his blood drained out from the wounds. It hurt him. He drained. He suffered. Come on. What was more valuable than that? And that's what he bases our salvation on. Because as far as we know, Jesus Christ took that spotless, precious, innocent blood and put it on the altar for us. Come on, is that right? But he suffered to drain it out. And so this suffering is so valuable. When we get to heaven, we'll find out to whom the Lord giveth much. Come on, talk to me. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. So look at Psalms 56. Look at verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my what? Tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? You know what? I lost some hair today, and God subtracted the count. Looks like you lost a little bit too, Brother Steve. What do you mean? Even the hairs of our head are numbered. Is that right? We say amen to that, right? What do you mean? Like if I lose a hair today, he cares enough about me to know that. I know this, that in Revelations, our prayers are in vials that he opens up and mixes with incense. I don't know how he stores it, but this scripture says that he's got our tears in a bottle and then he recorded them in a book. Do I read that right? Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? What are you saying? I think God has a remembrance of every tear we shed and everything we suffered down here. And he doesn't let any tear of his saints, his children, drop to the ground without recording it. So you're all going to shed some tears for your father. And he's recording that. Because your sufferings are valuable to him. And nobody suffers without purpose. Because it makes our heart better. Which allows us to do something more for God in helping others. Come on, you still with me? I'm just making sure I've got other scriptures marked, but I think I'm going to ask you to do this. I'll read it to you. Listen carefully. I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Brethren, when we finally get to heaven, I think for however long we'll realize how important the sufferings of are until he wipes away all the pain. And he will wipe it away. But the sufferings that you're facing down here, please view them as precious. Please view them as glory, like honor and respect. Please view it as a privilege. Please view it as something that you can't get around, because every one of us has a thorn package. What do you mean, a thorn package? Every one of us has a sufferings package that's assigned to us. See, I think in military terms. Paul, here's your mission. You're going out, and here's your mission, Paul. Here's the mission statement. You're going to bear witness to me, to the Gentiles. You're going to bear witness about me to kings. You're going to bear witness about me to the children of Israel. You're going to be a witness to me. You're going to plant churches. And then along with that, I have a suffering package assigned to you also. In every city you go in, you're going to suffer. And every door of opportunity I give you, there's going to be tears. There's going to be marks, and there's going to be pain. Because that brings more value to it. Brethren, look up here. The things we suffer for and the things we give something up for becomes more valuable. You know, it's imperative that your church stay together. There's missionaries counting on you. Nobody needs to be on a power trip right now. No tensions. Be long-suffering with each other. Because your pastor, it can't be standing up here right now. Don't let the tensions build. Don't start forming little cliques. Come on, are you still hearing what I'm saying? Don't go home and say, oh man, I don't want to bring a friend. It's just Brother Steve preaching. Mary had a little lamb with John 3:16 will work. Well, it's not pastor. It's just not the same. Look, it's not the same tonight, is it? After all these years. Come on. You can say amen. It's not the same tonight. He's not here with us right now. It's not the same. But Jesus is the same. But it's not the same without him being present with us here tonight. But we're going to go on. And you're going to have friend day. It's this weekend, right? You ought to bring somebody. I mean, you ought to go after somebody and bring somebody. Why? Well, look, the church is not based on hero worship. It's based on Jesus Christ. Yes, we're concerned about our pastor. Yes, we care about our pastor. Yes, we believe he'll come back. But until that time, we've got to keep going. We got missionaries counting on us. You still got a building to finish. Look, how are we going to finish the building without him? Well, him didn't start the building, Jesus did. So somebody's got to pick up on it and keep it going. Who's the guy running the project? Is he here tonight? Huh? Where? Who? Where? You running it, brother? Is it still going on? All right. No changes, just projections, just moving ahead? Great. When's it going to be finished? I'm just kidding with you. It's in the works. It's right where it's supposed to be. But what you don't want is to let it slip. We finish. By God's grace, we finish. Whenever we're supposed to finish. By the way, Brother Joe expected it to be finished before this. But it's okay. God had all this planned. You're right in God's will, man. I'm telling you again, you're right in God's will. All the decisions are already made pretty well. Are you just lying to me? They're all made pretty well. What do you need, money? Money and more time, huh? Well, you know what? God has more money. Maybe this suffering is the price paid to finish. We don't know. But tears are more important than money. And tears move God. Come on. I know we need money to finish, but tears, you'd be surprised how that moves God. When you humble and he sees the tears and the suffering, it has an impact on him. When his children suffer in his will and endure grief that he has planned for them. And by the way, it's always fair. God is always fair. God is always good. Why? He said, I'll not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able. He didn't say, I wouldn't have you to suffer. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. You see, tears move God. If we could all go up to heaven right now for 3 seconds and come back down, our complete attitude on this would be solved. And we would say, we have a sovereign God and everything's still under control. And we can see why now. Because it all makes sense to him. We live by faith and we still see through a glass darkly, but let's not be dumb Baptists. Do you hear what I'm saying? And don't go out of here saying, well, Brother Fisher called us dumb. I didn't call you dumb. I said, let's not be dumb Baptists. Let's look on suffering in the right way. Let's look on it with respect and with honor and give it the glory that it's supposed to be given. And I'm not talking about, well, then I'm going to go home and hit myself. Don't be a dumb Baptist. Muslims are out beating themselves tonight thinking that they're getting God's favor. Don't do that. But when God and his will have something come in our life, like being born blind or something from the birth or something like we're going through, and it's God's will, let's not be dumb Baptists. Let's give it the glory due it. And let's let it make our heart better. And let's let it make our heart wiser. And let's bring the softness and the humility that it's supposed to bring. And let's keep the tensions down. And let's have a friend day. And let's not have power trips. And let's not have divisions. And let's not have tensions in the house. And in this house too. And let's wait and see what God does. Well, I just missed the pastor. Well, you're supposed to. I miss his preaching. Well, you're supposed to. I miss his spirit and his attitude and his words. You're supposed to. Aren't you appreciating him more? Come on. Nobody can duplicate him. Aren't you appreciating him more? Don't we take people for granted once in a while? Oh, no, I've always just not my pastor. Oh, no, you didn't. We all take each other for granted once in a while. Well, I didn't. Come on. We all take each other for granted once in a while. They're just always going to be there. Well, I didn't. Oh, come on. Just admit. And it's not the same. Can it get better? Sure. Do we go on? Yes. I appreciate Pastor's wife. You should too. I walked up. She was walking up. Children following her. Walked over. Did my normal routine. Go into a little office to study. Every time I come here, I do the same thing. It doesn't alter. Go into a little office to study while you're singing. Walk down, wash my hands, use the restroom. And every time I walk down there on Thursday night, she's down there organizing that section. I think it's the nurseries, right? So I walk down there tonight, and guess where she was? Organizing her section. And I said, "Sister, do you need any help tonight? I can work the nursery." She said, "No, I think you're supposed to preach to us tonight." I said, "Well, if you need help, I can be down here." She's down there in her place, doing her work, with a tear in the corner of her eye, no doubt. That's fair, huh? And we're going to be praying for your dad tonight. He's tomorrow. What time? About 8 o'clock. There's a pastor, Rick DeMichael, in surgery tomorrow. There's two other pastors I know in surgery. Your pastor's tonight recovering from some surgery. And I just would say this to you tonight. It's Halloween. The world calls it Halloween. What better place for us as saints to be down giving glory to God just a couple minutes tonight? While the world is dressing up as who knows what. And we're in here tonight learning about something that's very, very, very valuable. And I want to say to you young people here tonight, listen to me. You didn't miss anything out there tonight. You didn't miss anything. We can give you candy. Do you understand what I mean? I can give you candy. Being here in a place where we're talking about suffering is much more valuable when you get to heaven. Could I ask some of y'all tonight to join me at an altar for some prayer? While that's all going on out there, we ought to be praying in here. And we ought to be thanking God for the suffering, for the privilege, for the cup, for God's wisdom, for Friend Day, for the building, for missions, and all the other things. And for these that are facing surgeries and different things tonight, would you please, just for 3 or 4 minutes tonight, join me for some prayer? Let's stand, let's come.